Hare Krishna to all dear devotees. Once again, thank you so much for joining Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam verse 5.14.6 onwards. Before handing the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Raj Prabhuji to give the brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Raj Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mata Idanu Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji was born in Maharashtra, India in 1980. Brought up in a social background where spirituality was often questioned, later he developed a natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Prabhuji passed College of Engineering, Pune, Mechanical Engineering in 2003, and he came in touch with devotees of ISKCON in 2003. He found all his questions answered in books of Srila Prabhupada. As a student of MBA Finance, Prabhuji studied Prabhupada books and became a sincere practitioner. He joined NCDX as assistant manager and worked for 3 years. Later, he took on a two-year Brahmachari training course in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Mumbai, and was initiated into Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. Prabhu was a youth preaching department was in youth preaching department and was in the seva of guiding the youth. He always wanted to share his joy of Krishna consciousness with the youth. So he gave up his job and decided to help the misguided youth by helping them understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. He joined ISKCON Chopati as a resident in 2009. Later, he was posted to ISKCON Nasik Temple. Prabhu is serving as a youth counselor in various colleges of Nasik. He conducts seminars on personality development topics in educational and corporate sectors. This was a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Prabhuji, Dhanva Pranam to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Welcome to the call, Prabhuji. To you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Raj Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association and enlightening on this topic. I would like to hand over the call to you. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji. So we will start with Mangalacharan. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopeshu Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwadu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Natanam Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 16. I'll just recite the prose of this. Yeah. Kvachit kalavisha mitaraja kula Rakshasa aparita priyatama dhana asu pramukrita iva vigata jiva lakshanaste. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Government men are always like carnivorous demons called Rakshasas, man-eaters. Sometimes these government men turn away the conditioned souls and take away all his accumulated wealth. Being bereft of his life reserved wealth, the conditioned souls lose all the enthusiasm. Indeed, it is though he loses his life. The word Rajakula Rakshasa is very significant. Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled about 5,000 years ago, yet government men are referred to as Rakshasas or carnivorous demons. If government men are opposed to a person, that person will be bereft of all his riches, which he has accumulated with great care over a long period of time. Actually, no one wants to pay income taxes. Even government men themselves try to avoid these taxes. But at unfavorable times, income taxes are exacted forcibly and the taxpayers become very morose. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for this Srimad Bhagavatam session. I'm so grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are on the 14th chapter, which is description of the material world as the great forest of enjoyment. This is nothing but an detailed explanation of what was given as a synopsis in chapter 13, talk between Rahugun and Jada Bharat Maharaj. So every analogy that was given in the 13th chapter is now vividly described here in the 14th chapter. So just like we have here in the 16th shloka, initially in the previous shloka it was said, he became sad because of the wealth that he had earned so hard with such hard labor and was plundered by the yakshas. So who are these yakshas? He is here describing that the government officials who turn against a person take away all his wealth. Then what happens when he loses all his wealth? He loses his enthusiasm and appears like a dead person without any life. So here, if we see this great detailed explanation that is taking place in this 13th and 14th chapter, what is the purpose of such great detailed explanation of chapter 13 and 14, the forest of material enjoyment? So we have to understand the purpose of all these things. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, more emphasis is given on the grihastha ashram side. If we read the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is saying grihastha ashram as a blind, deep well, dark well with snakes and scorpions to bite in, and one who enters it never comes back. So why all these explanations are given in regards to the grihastha ashram? Whereas on the contrary, if we see the other side, the sannyas order or the brahmachari life is always glorified in spite of all the discomforts that are faced in this ashram. The other side is glorified more here. So what is there in mind of Jada Bharat Maharaj when he's talking about this in great detail about the forest of material enjoyment? What is there in his mind? So just like now we are celebrating Damodar month. So if we read this 10th canto where the Venu Geet takes place, and Venu Geet is nothing but all the gopis are singing about the various different activities of Krishna. Now what happened when all the gopis, one by one, they are reciting the various glories and activities and qualities of Lord Krishna? All of a sudden in the fifth shloka of the Venu Geet, we see that none of the gopis can speak because they are so choked with emotion that they cannot speak. So then how come the fifth shloka that is there we see in the Gopi Geet is when spoken when the gopis are not speaking? So just like what the gopis are experiencing and speaking is when just repeated as it is by Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami knows the heart of the gopis, what they want to speak, but due to such intense churning of emotions, they are not able to speak. So Shukadev Goswami acts as a loudspeaker. He is not the speaker of Bhagavatam. He is rather a loudspeaker. The speaker are the gopis and the loudspeaker. The message of the gopis is conveyed by Shukadev Goswami. So here Shukadev Goswami is representing nothing else but the emotions. But why? When the gopis are not speaking, how come the loudspeaker is speaking? When the speaker is not saying a word, how come the loudspeaker is speaking? But here we have to understand the point that this has been done for out of great compassion for our Parikshit Maharaj, because now it's 10th canton is almost like more than 60-70% of Srimad Bhagavatam is over, and we have only three more cantos left, and only 2.5 days are remaining for that. So he has to complete it. So out of great compassion for Parikshit Maharaj, he is speaking that shloka, and he is expressing the mood of the gopis, the form that is hidden and the form that the gopis want to describe of Lord Krishna has been spoken by Shukadev Goswami due to great compassion. And that is why he wants Parikshit Maharaj to understand the great amount of love that the gopis have for Krishna. Similarly, here, what is the point that Jad Bharat Maharaj is trying to make? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning that he wants to highlight one factor, that is the renunciation. Because Rahugan is still attached to his kingly opulence, and because of this attachment to the kingly opulence, he is not able to hear, he is not able to understand what Jad Bharat has been trying to say. So out of great compassion, he is now explaining what synopsis he has given in the 13th chapter. Now he is expressing it in great detail so that the king can develop renunciation. This is the main motive of this 14th chapter. Just like, because if you want to speak about higher topics, then the person has to be on that platform to understand what he's speaking. That is the sign of Acharya. That is the sign of a great teacher. Just like we have Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was once confronted by an atheist, he challenged Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur about Radharani and the concept and theory of Radharani, the personality of Radharani. And he was like saying left, right, center, something rubbish. Prabhupada wanted to speak about the truth of Radharani, but he was so confused because from the questions of the person asked, he could understand that this person is not on that platform where he can understand the tattva of Srimati Radharani. So it is just like giving a diamond to a monkey. What else can a monkey do when he's given a diamond? He'll just bite that diamond and throw it away because it doesn't taste anything for him. Similarly, to speak about Radharani is like a jewel to a person who has no idea about who Radharani is. It's like giving a diamond or a jewel to a monkey. So he was in great dilemma. He was in such a great dilemma that in that great dilemma of whether he should confront him and tell him the truth of Radharani or whether he should hide the glories of Srimati Radharani from this person, in that great dilemma he fainted. So that is the love this acharyas are carrying for Srimati Radharani. But then it has to be made presentable to the person who is ready for that. Otherwise, it is like giving a diamond to a monkey. We see our own Srila Prabhupada when he was in Gorakhpur meeting Bhai Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who is none other than the one of the great revolutionary preachers of devotional cult. And Gita Press is started by Bhaiji Hanuman Prasad Poddar. So Prabhupada, after he started his Western preaching, he had come to India, and Bhaiji had invited him for a program, and Prabhupada was doing a program there at his house. And fortunately, Bhaiji Poddar's deities were also named as Radha Madho, and Prabhupada always started his classes with Jai Radha Madho. So he was having darshan of Radha Madho, and he was singing Radha Madho. And as he was singing Radha Madhav and having the intense darshan of Radha Madhav, Prabhupada could not sing a line beyond Jai Radha Madhav, because those emotions were churned so deeply that his eyes were like, tears were rolling from his eyes, his voice was choked, hairs were standing on end, and nobody could understand what is happening apart from Bhaiji Hanuman Prasad Poddar. Only he could understand what Prabhupada was going through. But then later, the same Prabhupada, when he went back to the US, he was every day singing Jai Radha Madhav before the neophyte devotees. But there he didn't display all this. Why? Because the audience are not ready. So similarly, here we see that the Acharya
can control his emotion, but at the same time, he has compassion and keeping control over his emotions, keeping them aside, the personal relish. Here, Shukdev Goswami is not just speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he is personally relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, how is he relishing Srimad Bhagavatam? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is taught to Shukdev Goswami personally by Srimad Radharani. As a Shuka who sits on her right hand, she always used to speak to him, teach. We all know that parrots are trainable because they have a tongue. They have been given a benediction by Agnidev that they can speak like humans. And this comes in Mahabharata. When Agni was trying to hide and so many people gave and witnessed that he's hiding here, he cursed them also and also gave them a blessing. So parrots also saw Agni, and then parrot Agni cursed that he will have a tongue that is twisted. But he begged forgiveness, then he said that, okay, you can speak like humans. So parrots can speak like humans. So Radharani every day used to sing the glories of Lord Krishna before this parrot. And she used to, just like a teacher, she used to make sure that he learns all the glories and make him repeat. And when he used to repeat it properly, and then with her own hands, Radharani used to take one grain of pomegranate and feed with her own hands to the Shuka. And with great enthusiasm, the Shuka would eat that one grain of pomegranate given by Radharani. And he would repeat the glories of Lord Krishna before Srimati Radharani. And Radharani would become so happy and so enthusiastic. Again, she would sing glories of Lord Krishna. Again, she would feed him that one grain of pomegranate. So that is how he has learned Srimad Bhagavatam. He has his own personal relish. But keeping aside that personal relish, just out of great compassion for Parikshit Maharaj, he is speaking the fifth verse, which is nothing but the deep hidden feelings of the gopis for Lord Krishna. Similarly, here, why chapter after chapter, why is Jada Bharat behind King Raghun? Because he wants him to come to that level where he can understand what he wants to tell him on the level that he wants him to function on. Now, enough of that, because in previous life, you all know that he was the same deer to whom Bharat Maharaj got attached. He said, because of you, Baba, I have to take one more birth as a deer. Now I have become a human. Why are you wasting your human life? Let's prepare ourselves. So trying to bring a person to that level is also a great act of compassion. Just like we have one devotee here. I can share this with all of you. Wonderful couple, senior couple, both of them. And this Prabhuji is facing some health issues from a long time. It's almost 2-3 years now. And there is one senior astrologer, devotee astrologer, and they consulted him. And he said that Prabhuji doesn't have a long time to live. He may live a year or year and a half. And both the husband and wife, because seeing his bodily structure diminishing every month, and they're trying all kinds of treatment, but he is not able to gain weight on his body, and his body is continuously diminishing. So Mataji was speaking to me, because she usually, they both speak to me and they share their hearts. So she was saying, now Prabhuji, what should we do? Because this is the condition, and they have said that, and neither medicines are working and nothing else is also working. So I said, Mataji, this is the time where now we should enter the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Because now we have been functioning on a very different platform. Now we have to start functioning on the level of the soul, so that while giving up the body, there is no attachment to the body. And that will only come when we are attached to functioning on a spiritual platform, on a different platform. And that is what this Acharyas have been doing. Srila Prabhupada is singing Paramakaruna, Pahudhuijana, Nithai Gaur Chandra, is singing there in Atlantic Temple. And Prabhupada just repeating the same line over and over again, over and over again, crying. Why? Because he is feeling that deep compassion for all the living entities. But the main thing is, we are not able to experience because of the attachment that we have to the worldly things, because we are functioning on a lower platform. That's it. Once we start functioning, somebody may say, isn't it an imitation? Yes, initially we do have to imitate. Just like a girl, a small child, imitates her mother in cooking, and gradually she learns how to cook. Similarly, a sadhaka also has to chant. Even if he's not enthusiastic, he has to chant enthusiastically. He may feel enthusiastic or may not feel. He has to keep on chanting. He has to imitate that. And then gradually things will develop over it, over a period of time. But the point is, are we at the same time giving up our attachment to the worldly thing? That is where in the purport, in the previous purports, Prabhupada is writing, Rushta Karmachari. Rushta, what is this Rushta Karmachari? They are the one who take away, Aparita Priyatama Dhanadi, they take away the most dear thing that a person has in his life. And what happens to the individual when his wealth is taken? Ashu Pramritaka. Ashu means life air. And Pramritaka means Prakrishta Rupena Mritaka. He dies immediately when that wealth is taken away because he can't function without wealth. Vigata Jiva Lakshanam. He's bereft of signs of life. He's dead. Aste. He remains as if he's dead. He can't function. So Bhagavatam has to be understood from various facets because wealth also has various facets attached to it. Wealth gives you freedom. I can do anything with that. Wealth gives you choices. You can choose anything you want from the plethora of things you have. Wealth gives you a medium of exchange for goods and services. We have this example of Srila Sanatana Goswami and his servant carrying 8 gold coins. We know that. Why were they carrying? Because the servant thought that it would be a kind of thing where we can exchange it for something when it is an emergency. The need, he felt the need of carrying it. Sanatana Goswami didn't feel because he was functioning on another level. But his servant was functioning on some other level. Thinking of the bodily needs. Will things will be provided for me and him or no over a period of time? Wealth means sustenance. This is the equation that the ordinary world carries because it is required for the bodily sustenance. We know that. But when these, but when this wealth, which creates facilities for sense enjoyment, if it crosses a limit, then things go out of control. And we have the famous example which we are celebrating in this month is Nalkuvar Manigri. When money, when the source of income is within limit, then you automatically are limited in your use. But when you have excess in something, then you don't know how to handle it, then everything turns into the condition of Nalkuvar Manigri. When there is unlimited resources but no control, then this is what will happen. Nalkuvar Manigri. Sure, bound to make the mind corrupt and misuse it. Then we feel like we should do this adventure and that adventure. And we see the son of Indra doing the adventure. He comes to Mother Sita and peeks her on her breast and the whole entire chest is filled with blood. Why this adventure? How can somebody dare to do this? Because you know that my father has money. He can do anything. He has power. He can do anything. He said he felt that his father would be able to save him because he has power, he has money. But on the contrary, we also have a person who has self-control over himself but also has an unlimited amount of money with him. We have Kuresh. Kura Isha. He was the Isha. He was the Ishwara. He was the controller of the place known as Kura. And right from morning, his gates used to open. With the opening of the gates, the huge sound was heard by Mother Lakshmi, and Mother Lakshmi is telling her servant, who is this person? Every day we hear this voice. What is this voice all about? And he's telling, this is the doors of Kuresh opening, and now he'll be giving in charity. Every day he gives whatever anybody wants, he gives in charity. Morning doors open, evening doors close. And Lakshmi Devi is saying, I want to see him. Kuresh is feeling so sad. Why she wants to see me, a person who is so foolish? And he just he gives away everything and just leaves and goes and in one cloth takes his wife and leaves the place. But again, the same thing. Money has the factor of security. His wife carries a bowl, golden bowl. But the purpose was not security here. Security of the husband for feeding him. It was not wealth security. My husband should be well fed because he's such a big landlord. So wealth also gives you security. It creates a feeling. When it is in excess, it creates a feeling that I don't need anybody else. And that is what credit card and debit cards are all about. And personal loans are all about. What they are made to make you feel that you don't need anybody. Money, I can do anything. I can do. Yeah, it's okay. But there's a limit to it. You can do it only till a certain age. Once your body becomes weak, neither money comes to help, neither anything else comes to help. But on the contrary, we also see that lack of money can also create so much of turmoil in life, because a person becomes dysfunctional, because for sustenance we need. And we have the example of Drupad and Drona. And when most of the devotees or any general person, when he is in crisis, he needs money, then he can take to any means. Just like when Drupada was dishonored by Drona, he went to the forest searching for a person who can give him a son who can kill Drona. But none of the sages, they said, we will not do a yajna which is meant for killing somebody. Sorry, sir. He served one sage for one whole year. Till he didn't. Second year he served him. Selflessly he served him. Drupad. Then he told, then the sage whom he served, he said, see, I will not do this yajna for you, but I can tell you one person who can do this for you. Then he's asked, Drupad is asking, who? He said, he is my brother, he can do this yajna for you. You pay him, he'll do it. He said, sir, you are not doing, how can your brother do? He said, I know my brother. He said, how do you know your brother? Because he gives a very simple example, but very profound example. He says, once my brother was walking through the forest and all of a sudden he felt hungry. And when he felt hungry, he saw fruit lying. He just picked up the fruit without washing, without doing anything. He just ate that fruit. And when he ate that fruit, so what was so great in eating that fruit? It showed his mindset. He's not concerned whether it is pure, impure, eatable, non-eatable, offered, unoffered, nothing. He just wants that his stomach has to be full. So he's not concerned with what is the means. So he'll do it for you. So lack of money also creates problem in life. And money is an universal form of exchange. You can exchange it for anything in this world. And money can also lead to disagreements. And that is why so much has been written here about family life. We are not disagreeing with the point that we don't need wealth. We need wealth for sustenance, but we have to make ourselves capable of handling that wealth. Because when it crosses the level of need, it turns into greed. And when a person reaches that greed, it cannot be satisfied under any circumstances. So what to do with this money? So money has both aspects to it, material also and spiritual also. You can use the same amount of money to use it for spiritual activities and convert that wealth, which is a financial wealth, into spiritual wealth. Just like in this month of Kartik, if you donate something for Annadan, for devotees, or for deities, or for Brahmanas, or for cows, or for kids, it automatically is converted into spiritual credits. That is how you convert matter into spirit. And that is the facility in Krishna is speaking about in the third chapter. Everything here is meant for you to live happily. But this is all material. But if you want to make progress in spiritual life, use the same matter and try and give it so that the proclivity, the propensity to think only about oneself will be destroyed by donating it to others. And that is how you progress in your spiritual life. So that is how the entire structure is created. But then the problem is, we need a proper mood for this. The mood has to be set. And what is the mood? Idam namama, nothing here belongs to me. I am just a caretaker. Wife, husband, kids, money, house, property, caretaker. Idam namama. This doesn't belong to you. And that is why everything is given in such great details by Jada Bharat. Because he wants that he should get detached. Gradually he should get detached. Raghavan Maharaj should get detached from all this. Because he knows that this money later will not bring any happiness, just like we see Arjun. His heart was so much filled with compassion that he said, I better die than getting the wealth and killing my own relatives. But that was wrong. It was a dry compassion. It was not shown at the right time for the right purpose. And that is why Krishna blasting Arjuna in the first, second chapter itself. He said, you're a fool. This is nothing but weakness of heart. And Arjuna becomes angry. Arjuna questioning Krishna. Will you kill your own teacher? Will you kill your own grandfather? You're telling me to kill. Have you done this? You do that and you tell me. Then I'll do it. Arjuna is questioning Krishna. Then Krishna says, what do you want me to do? He said, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to kill anybody. I'll just take sannyas and leave. Because this shoka, this illusion, this lamentation is drying my entire body. But Krishna says, Are Baba, Mrityu Sarva Aracha. At the end, everything I'll take away. Money, wealth, power, anything and everything I'll be taking away. It is only for the matter of time. But Arjuna says, no, I don't want, because I don't think that this will give me peace of mind. Then Krishna is saying, Tyaga Chantira Anantaram. Arey Baba, when you give up the propensity of controllership, only then you can feel peaceful and happy in this life. And that is where in the previous shloka, the example of the deer running in the desert is given. We think that here it will be happy, there we will be happy. But happiness is nothing but a concept. This is what he's trying to explain here. Now we want to come to a very pertinent point, which is one of the main themes of this chapter. Now we have understood that why the 14th chapter has been placed here, because Shukdev Goswami, Jad Bharat Maharaj wants him to be detached. He wants him to be detached. Okay, theek hai. We understood this thing. Shukdev Goswami, through this example of Jad Bharat, is now trying to making Rahugan detached from this material world. And that is why they are using the word Dava. Dava means forest and Dava also means fire. And the fire and forest both are the places which are devoid of any pleasurable things, luxuries, happiness. And there is a lot of distress. And that is why the whole materialistic family life is compared with the fire or forest. Forest is not a very pleasurable place. You don't have proper place to sleep. You don't have proper water. You don't have proper facilities. There is no pleasure activity. Yeah, somebody who is a sadhu who has tuned up his mind for that, then it's a different thing. But still, he has to tune up his mind to do that. Now, Shukdev Goswami, is he trying to criticize grihastha life? Is he trying to show grihastha life as something which is very bad? There is one shloka which comes in the Shubhashit Ratnamanda. Bharya Bhartu Virodini Prabhurapi Krodhena Purna Sada Ha Kashtam Khalu Vartate Dhik Dhik Grahasthashram. He is saying, Sthanam Shitalavarina Satatam Digdig Grahasthashtama. He is saying, he is condemning Grahasthashtama. This is Shubhashitratna Bhandar. Okay. When wife is unfavorable, son shouts at you, your boss is not happy with your work. Okay. And every morning you have to rush to your office for work and earn your daily wages. He is saying, Digdig Grahasthashtama. Dikkare us Grahasthashtama, where you have to work like you have to work day in and day, day out. And he feels, after doing so much, what do I get? He becomes dejected. Asukam udarakam ha dukkha param. One after another, there is dukkha in this family life. Unhappiness one after another. Later he thinks, I have not performed any punya, and that is why I am so fallen, and I am devoid of all facilities here. So he's thinking, because of my bad activities, this household life, I am devoid of all good things. But even if everything is good, there are other people who will set fire to your household life, happy household life. So is it here that they are criticizing household life? No. So they are trying to, what is the purpose behind trying to put the entire 13th and 14th chapter where nothing but grihastha ashram has been condemned now and then? Now here is the point that we have to understand the purpose. If you don't understand the purpose, and we are missing on something very important. Shastras don't pick up grihastha life to criticize it. Just like we see Shukadeva Goswami now here, Jad Bharat Maharaj. They are picking up on Grihastha Ashram because both of them are unmarried, by the way. They are both unmarried and they don't know what is happening in Grihastha life. But it's not all about experience. You can hear also and understand things also. So Shastras don't pick up Grihastha life and criticize, but there is a very hidden agenda behind doing that. On the contrary, you can see the sadhu life is glorified. Waking up early, chanting mantras, doing yajna, sleeping on floor, cold water bath, staying in Guru's ashram, wearing only simple dress, studying Vedas and all, doing austerities, tapasya, so great. And Grihastha ashram, sleeping on great mattresses and opulent clothing, and all this is condemned, this is grahandukupam. You have to understand it from the perspective of the Shastras and the Acharya. Sridhar Swami says that the 14th chapter, why it is given in such great detail, what is the purpose of criticism? Acharyas don't derive pleasure by saying something as superior and other as inferior. They don't feel happy by doing this. The purpose is given in the Shastras. Nahi ninda nindyam ninditum prayuchyate. Kim tarhi nindita itaraha prashamsitu. It is not to criticize the Grihastha ashram, but to glorify the ashram where austerity and renunciation is practiced, which can be practiced also in the Grihastha ashram. So why this kind of lifestyle is been put down? To show that renunciation is the real thing. It is not to put down Grihastha ashram. It is the quality of renunciation that has to be glorified and that has to be cultivated. That's why Lord Chaitanya's devotees are glorified as what? Vairagya Vidya Anicca Bhakti Yoga. From among the 12 Mahajans, 7 are Grihasthas. We always have heard about the famous story of Janak Maharaj and his kingdom, treasury burning, and he's sitting here and hearing Harikatha. Absolutely uninterested, totally renounced. So none of the ashramas are seen superior or inferior. It is all about detachment from the material world. If you are practicing detachment in Grihastha ashram, it is glorified. Yes, it is glorified. So what is glorified in Sannyas ashram or Brahmachari ashram is the renunciation. Renunciation of what? The proclivity to say that this is mine and this is mine. That is been condemned. Otherwise, on the contrary, we see so many examples. Prabhupada, when he came from America for first time in India, when he came back from America, and the taxi wala, he fought for 25 paise. Prabhupada is fighting at dead of the night for 25 paise with the taxi wala. Why? He said, this is Krishna's money. His divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, offering bananas to Radha Krishna, the deities. And one monkey comes and steals the banana. He's running behind that monkey to get that banana back. Is he so attached to the banana? No, he's saying, this banana belongs to Krishna. They are meant for service to Krishna. It is not attachment. So the purpose of this chapter is to glorify renunciation. The speaker himself has no attachment or aversion to any ashram. Just like if we see Krishna in Gita himself, Krishna is saying, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavartuna. He is criticizing himself what he has written. Vedas are all written by Krishna. He himself is criticizing. Ya imam pushpitam vacha pravadanti avipaschita. He himself is the writer of the Vedanta. He is saying that the final conclusion is what? It is surrender to Krishna. How do you surrender? By giving up your controlling propensity. Renunciation. So chapter 13, the purpose of speaking by Jad Bharat, this knowledge of absolute truth, can't be spoken to a person who is not detached. Avirakta. So detachment helps understand the absolute truth. We have three examples. Shaunak Rishi and Sud Goswami. Which is considered to be the lowest. Why? Because Shaunakadi Rishi can be doing yajna for going to the Swarga, which is like the on the very lower rung. Vyas and Narad, Vyas, they himself were dissatisfied. So that was the second kind. It is in between. The topmost kind of conversation that took place was between Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, because both of them were totally detached from everything. In between, second canto, Parikshit Maharaj feels a little attachment. Shukdev Goswami sees that he's still attached because he was the king previously and he had that propensity to give. And that is where he chastises him. Shukdev Goswami chastising Parikshit Maharaj. Karvo kimna jivanti. Don't the trees give you fruits? Don't the rivers give you water? Don't people throw away their given torn clothes? Can't you wear that and be happy with whatever it is? He chastising him. Renunciation. So 13th chapter is given to build up detachment in the heart of Rahugan. So the point is we have to develop renunciation, correct? Okay. Now the Shastras are also encouraging renunciation. Now devotees may think, okay, I'll renounce after 50 years. What's the problem? Shastra says, don't fool yourself. Yad ahar, yad ahareva virajet, tad, tad ahareva pravrajet. As soon as you feel detached, leave the place. We have so many examples. Shridhar Swami, he wanted to take sannyas, but his wife died as she gave birth to the son. She died. And he was confused what to do. And he saw that lizard. Krishna is there to feed everybody. Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he felt that, no, it's time for me to take sannyas and preach the holy name, he took sannyas. Shripad Shankaracharya, he said, I have to preach, I have to take sannyas. Forget it. He left home. Shukdev Goswami didn't come out. As soon as he came out, left home. Parikshit Maharaj, 7 days notice, first day he left home. Vibhishan, he said, let me now go and take shelter of Lord Ram because I can't trust my mind whether it will be ready to take shelter of Lord Krishna tomorrow or no. I am not very sure. Right now, if Krishna Ram is giving me shelter, I am ready to take shelter. Yadahareva viraje tat, tat ahareva pravrija. As soon as you feel renounced, give up the world. Now you may say, okay, anyway, the world is so much of suffering. Shastra is also promoting. So this is the best combination. Just let leave home and go somewhere in Haridwar and Rishikesh and stay there alone. Rupa Goswami says, wait. There are some definitions that we have to understand. Uttama Bhakti. What is Uttama Bhakti? Anya Vilashta Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam. It should not be overpowered by Jnana, Karma and Adi. Now what is the definition of Adi? Then Srila Jiva Goswami gives the definition of Adi. Adi Shabdena, what does Adi include? Vairagya, Yoga, Sankhya, Abhyasaya, Adayaha. Means detachment should not overpower your bhakti. Vairagya can cover your bhakti and create dryness in your heart. Just like we have our Durvas Muni. Just recently we went to Dwarka. The temple of Lord Krishna and Rukmini, far off. Two different places. Why? Cursed. Rishi. He says, you don't treat me properly. No proper guest reception. Both of you cursed. Stay apart. His heart is dry. There are no feelings and emotions for Krishna. Excessive vairagya will disturb the flow of that rasa. That is why when somebody is into Jnana Yoga, then renunciation is the path that is told. Just like Adi Shankaracharya. He himself was a sannyasi. All his topmost disciples are sannyasi. Without sannyas, you cannot practice what Shankaracharya has preached. That is why in the 11th canto, Krishna is giving this, that pure devotional service surpasses knowledge and detachment. Kasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai mad atmanah na jnanam na cha vairagyam praya shreya bhavetya yogino na mad bhakta atmanah. If you want to come close to me, and you cannot come by jnanam nor by vairagya. You have to practice devotional service. Therefore, for a devotee engaged in my loving service, mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection in the world. For bhakti yogi, total renunciation is not recommended. It is recommended for jnanis and karmis. Shankar Sampradaya. No grahastha. All gurus are sannyasi. Tell me one. From the time Shankaracharya, 800 BC, Shankaracharya came. Till date, none of the gurus are grahasthas. Only one, Mandan Mishra, was there. He was forced to take sannyas. Force means he lost the debate and he had to take sannyas. And that is how he became a sannyasi. Rest all are sannyasi by birth. But in bhakti yogi, grahastha also can become a leader. He can also become a guru. because renunciation in bhakti is not allowed at an immature stage, because there is a risk of becoming a show bottle spiritualist. And that is why Prabhupada, we see fighting with the Mayavadis and the so-called Apasampradayas, because they are renouncing at an immature stage. So solution for a bhakti yogi, yes, it is renunciation, but it is balanced, it is yukta. Jadrichaya mat kathadav jita shraddha tuya puman na nirvinno nati sakto na nirvinno na ati sakto bhakti yogasya siddhadha. If somehow or the other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, such a person, neither being disgusted with nor very much attached to the material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving service to Krishna. That means Krishna is speaking of balance. For a devotee, balance is the key to spiritual life. So devotees means he has to have money also, but he should be well equipped to handle that money. Otherwise, we will end up becoming like Nalkuver and Namika. And devotees don't show off their money, their opulence. No. Money has only three uses: Dan, Bhog, and Nash. Best among the three is Dan for a devotee, because devotee doesn't use it for Bhog. Because if he uses it for Bhog, he'll get trapped. And Nasha, anyways, Krishna is going to take away at the time of death, or the relatives will plunder it. So the best thing for a devotee who has money is to give it in charity. For one who has limited resource, is very well settled, because he doesn't have much to spend on. And if he is not spending in a proper way, anyways, the money will be taken away at the time of death. There was one survey, research that was done. There were two groups of people that were created. One group was told to hear nasty music, nasty music. And the more you hear the nasty music, you will be given reward in terms of chocolates. Other group was told to hear pleasurable music, but the more they hear, they'll be given a toffee and some chocolates. So in that craving of getting more chocolates, people forced themselves to hear this tremendously difficult music. And they got more chocolates. And the second group, obviously, they got less chocolates, because it was arranged like that. Now they were told, the next part of the experiment was, okay, now the first group, they heard that bad music and they collected a lot of chocolates. Now they were told, okay, now the second part of the experiment is, now you have collected so many chocolates, both the groups. Now we will give you 2 minutes to eat all the chocolates that you have collected. The group one, who had collected chocolates by hearing that nasty music, could hardly eat one complete chocolate. But those who were hearing happy, pleasurable music could eat almost 75% of the chocolates. What is the point? We try to get money by such bad means. We expose ourselves to such nasty thoughts, nasty people, nasty activities. And when we try to enjoy what we have gained, so those who could eat only one, 75% of what they had earned was taken away. That was the third part of the experiment. If you couldn't eat, chocolates will be taken away. So they could eat one chocolate, but they had 4 to 5 chocolates to eat, but they could eat only one. The rest, everything was taken. Same thing happens. We struggle a lot for money, work so hard, spend our energies day in, day night, trying to earn somehow that amount of money which will give me security. Sir, where is the security? Indra is not having security here. Where are you finding security? Indra is chased away by so many demons time and again. Bali Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and Ravan, and people are coming and pulling him down his throne. He is running. He is hiding. Kubera, the treasurer of God whom we worship during Diwali, he is not having security. His entire Lanka was taken by Ravan. What security are we searching, and where are we? We are not speaking, don't earn money. No. It is required. But are we exposing ourselves too much for that one act of collecting money? I was reading one story in Mahabharata. I'll end with this. There was one person, Bhishma, Dev is asked by Yudhishthir Maharaj, should a person endeavor more to earn money? Is it that hard work can give him more money? Bhishma Dev then gives him an answer in the form of a story. He says, I'll tell you one story. And then he tells him a story that there was one person and he wanted money because he didn't have sufficient money. He always felt that the money he has is very less. He wanted more money. So he, whatever he had, he spent everything and he put it into so many businesses and everything collapsed. Everything collapsed. And he was like, nothing seems to be working. He said, I'll try till last. So whatever remaining wealth he had, he took that wealth and he purchased two goats. Whatever remaining wealth he had, got the entire wealth. Took the two sheep. He thought, I'll sell it at a higher price. So he was going from his town to other town to sell the sheep. And he tied both of them with one rope, one common rope, to their neck. And while he was walking, he was going through a jungle. And while going through the jungle, what happened all of a sudden was there was one camel who was sitting on in between the road. On the road he was sitting. And since he was sitting in between the road, what did this two sheep, they thought that, okay, now this entity is sitting in between the road. What we will do is one will go from this side and another will go from this side. And the camel was lying down peacefully. So one sheep went from left side, other sheep went from right side, and the rope was attached to both of them. Now the camel was lying peacefully. As soon as he saw, he felt that something has come upon him. The rope, he felt that something has come to catch him. So immediately the camel got up, and as soon as the camel got up, he started running. And he ran with those two sheep. And while he was running, now what happened was that rope was hanging down. And the hanging rope caused the death of both the sheep. And somewhere he threw the sheep and that camel ran away. And that person who spent the entire last bit of money that he had, he saw that both the sheep were dead. So Bhishma Dev is saying to Yudhishthir Maharaj, it is fixed how much you will earn and how much you will gain. So over endeavor you should do. We are not saying you should not endeavor for money. Over endeavor for earning is not promoted by the Shastra. So the point here is, we have only three options with money. Dana, bhoga and nasha. For devotee, dana is very good. Whatever money we can donate to temple for Prabhupada's mission, we should donate. Convert that money into spiritual credits. Okay, so when to leave home? So now we'll start cultivating renunciation. No, that is not required, because too much of renunciation will hamper the power of the quality of bhajan, because we'll start focusing on renunciation rather than Krishna. If a person is too attached, he's adhikari for karma yoga. If he is too detached, he is adhikari for jnana yoga. But when a person is balanced, he is adhikari for bhakti yoga, because freedom from too much of attachment and detachment is the sign of a balanced sadhaka. Dry heart cannot taste madhurya ras. That is why Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami, some of the renunciates said, why we need a book where renunciation is promoted. He said, take NOD, Bhakti Rasamrita. But those who want to taste the madhurya ras, for them there is usual nilamani. So practice bhakti and taste the higher ras of madhurya, but with the foundation of renunciation. And that is how glorious is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a book, is such a glorious text, that it can attract the attention of any person. If he's too renunciate or if he's too attached to worldly pleasures, both of them can sit together and enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam and relish Srimad Bhagavatam and get purified. यदा सस्य न यत् प्रियं भवति तत् स्यात् कामो लोकप्रिय यद्वा स्वस्य न सहि भवति प्रेष्टं च तद् योगिन सेत्तव्यं यत् ह्यातार चरिते ह्य अवतार चरिते प्रीतिर्द्वये उक्तये हि सेइंग दैट यत् स्या न तत् प्रिय भवति तत् स्यात् कामी लोकप्रियम् अ पर्सन हु इज एक्सट्रीमली डिटैच ही डजंट लाइक लव अफेयर्स बट अ कामी लाइक्स टू हियर अबाउट लव अफेयर्स यद वा स्या न सहति भवति कामी डजंट लाइक प्रवचन बट अ पर्सन हु इज डिटैच ही लाइक्स प्रवचन ही लाइक्स टू हियर अबाउट कृष्ण बट सी वॉट अ ग्लोरियस बुक दिस श्रीमद भागवतम इज प्रेष्टम च तद योगिन सेतव्यम इट इज कंबाइनिंग इट इज अ जॉइनिंग फोर्स यद हयत्री चरिते य अवतार चरिते बट दिस चरित्र ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज सो पावरफुल एंड सो वंडरफुल दैट अ कामी कैन ऑल्सो सिट एंड रिलीज एंड अ योगी कैन ऑल्सो सिट एंड रिलीज एंड बोथ कैन गेट प्यूरिफाइड एंड गो बैक टू गॉड दैट इज द पावर ऑफ देंथ कैंटो द कृष्ण चरित्र सो दिस इज गिवन इन द कमेंट्री ऑफ अवर वन ऑफ अवर आचार्यस इन इंट्रोडक्शन टू द 10th कैंटो 10th कैंटो इज सो रिलीजिबल दैट इवन अ कामी कैन बिकम attached to 10 canto because there are loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And a yogi can also become because there are so many pastimes which can please his heart. So the underlying principle is, yes, we have to get detached, but not too much because in the grahastha ashram, too much is not allowed because it can create extremities in the family. We have bhakti yogis, balance, even for grahastha, brahmachari, sannyasis, one person, the balance is the key. Because too much of extremities will create dryness in the heart. And once that dryness is created, we will not be able to taste the Madhurya Ras. And that is why Rupa Goswami is saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is a balanced text. By reading it, we can develop renunciation default setting and also enjoy the higher taste of Madhurya Ras. Thank you all very much for your kind and patient hearing. Hare Krishna. శిల ప్రభుపాద కీ జయ గ్రంథరాజ భాగవతం కీ జయ హరే కృష్ణ
హరే కృష్ణ ప్రభుజీ థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ ఫర్ సచ్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ క్లాస్ ప్రభుజీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ వెరీ నైస్లీ అబౌట్ ద రెనౌన్సియేషన్ అండ్ ద బ్యాలెన్సింగ్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైక్ ద హౌ మచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు బి డిటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ హౌ మచ్ వీ షుడ్ బి బ్యాలెన్సింగ్ థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ ప్రభుజీ ఫర్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ వెరీ నైస్లీ సో డూ యూ హ్యావ్ టైమ్ ఫర్ సమ్ క్వశ్చన్స్ ప్రభుజీ
Yeah, I have 5 minutes because we have 7 o'clock session. Here it is 6:47 now.
Yes.
So at 7 o'clock I have to.
Yeah, you can take
go like for one more session, one or two questions.
Okay, Anuradha Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I was waiting for you to come back because I had a question from your previous class and somewhat relevant to today's too, Prabhu. So. I'll try to frame my question. I hope you can understand, Prabhu. It's like, you know, how you say the other day, the difference between the Siddhas and the Sadhakas. It is that Krishna expect, you know, Krishna is pleased when we are consistent, yeah. When we are consistence. Yeah. So this consistence, Prabhu, which I'm talking for just myself and my struggles, that consistency also becomes difficult. Every day morning, Mangalarti, every day morning, Brahma Murta Japa, This then I have to be so strict, then I have to be strict with my family. And at the same time, what you said today, that we become strict, too strict, because, you know, at 9:30, we stay in a devotee community. Some devotee might have some need and I have to be there. Then thinking of my Brahma Murta Japa in the morning, you know, things like that. So it's always a struggle. And I'm fighting within myself whether I should say no. It sometimes it's other devotees, it is sometimes the family members. Either way, it's my japa that needs to be, I know I need to decide on it. Do you get my question, Prabhu, the struggle that I'm trying to put? And I don't know it's an excuse or it's a struggle, Prabhu. So.
Yes, Mataji, what you are saying is absolutely a practical question. And devotees often face with the dilemma that you are facing, because it's like a routine that we have to do every day. But there is a solution to this as well. Just like if somebody who is working, he has to do the same job every day, isn't it, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Correct? So on what strength is he so happy, struggling? Just like here in Mumbai, we have people going in the locals and my God, so much of rush and they're enjoying. What is making them enjoy that rush?
Money, salary, money.
Yeah, that's there. But what's the underlying principle there? It is the mode of passion that is driving them.
Okay.
So similarly for a sadhaka, mode of goodness drives him for his morning sadhana. So cultivation of mode of goodness is crucial for a sadhaka who wants to have daily spiritual practices. And that mode of goodness will only come when three things are there. There is Shravanam, there is Mananam, there is Nididhyasana. We do Shravanam, we do Nididhyasana, but we don't do Mananam.
Yeah.
That Mananam aspect has to be done. In the entire day, just like we have our own diaries, we all brahmacharis here, we keep our diaries, and in that we have a schedule of entire 6 hours, 7 hours of rest, and then the entire day we start from whatever time, morning, 4:30 we start. And the whole day we have a schedule. And then we check out at the end of the day that where have I wasted my time? Was it important? Was it not important? Okay. Then when I realize that, okay, I wasted time more than necessary on thing that was not very important, and I mark it. What devotees do, most of our devotees, they do is, there is something called a self-torture. Kindly excuse me, this word may not be the appropriate word. But yes, there has to be some leniency. I'm not saying that absolute leniency, but it is okay if someday if I'm not able to come up to the mark. Someday your best performance may be 90%, but someday your best performance can only be 50%. So that is the best performance that you have given for the day. Let's appreciate our own self. Okay, I've done good. Tomorrow I'll improve. We are so harsh on our own self, so harsh. Spiritual, have you ever seen Prabhupada being sometimes tired and sometimes morose and what is happening and what kind of discipline? No, he was enjoying every moment. Sometimes he's playing harmonium, sometimes he's playing mriganga, sometimes he's playing bhajan, sometimes he's speaking with people, sometimes he's cooking, sometimes he's eating, sometimes he's taking rest, sometimes he's taking massage, sometimes he's taking walk. He is enjoying spiritual life because he is not harsh on himself. But what we do is, in the name of that routine, we judge ourselves so badly, and that turns out, and then what comes up, we vent it out on our own family members. Because we have trained ourselves, Mangal Aarti is this. It's okay. It is understood. We are not machines. We are not machines here. So that analysis at the end of the day will help you realign yourself with the entire next day schedule. Okay, I wasted here. I shouldn't have done this. Okay, let it be. Today I have made such and such mistakes. Tomorrow I'll rectify that and improve myself tomorrow. That is how you keep yourself enthusiastic. We keep on punishing ourselves. We keep on punishing. But why? For what reason? You are doing Mangal Aarti. You are doing good. Sometimes it may give you pleasure. Terrorists, do they get pleasure in killing people? Their main focus is that money that will be paid to them. They are not enthusiastic about killing people. If their focus is completely on the 72 girl, virgin girls they'll be getting there and the money that their family will be getting. Are they enthusiastic about killing them? They are just doing with a purpose. Similarly, at some point of time, we also have to just carry on with the purpose that yes, this is being what is told to us, and gradually over a period of time, Krishna will surely reciprocate. No days are same, I guarantee you. Not all days are same. Tell me one day that you haven't got in a month, you haven't felt ecstatic while you're chanting or you're dancing or having prasad or speaking with your devotee friends. No, that means Krishna is giving you taste. But have you noted you are in such pressure that you have no time to realize that Krishna gave me that joy? That is where mananam comes into picture.
Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, quickly will you tell what is nididhyasanam? I forgot that, Prabhu. I heard
nididhyasanam is practice. Practice is called as nididhyasanam. We hear and we practice. We hear about chanting, we practice chanting. But okay, where is my chanting going? Are we meditating on that? Is there mananam on that? Okay, how was my day? Is there mananam on that? Okay, Krishna gave me joy. Krishna gave me this. Okay, Krishna helped me meet devotee friends today. Okay, my children were happy today. Krishna made my kids happy. My husband was happy. My family was happy. And we had good time because it is coming from Krishna. Is mananam all about that? Yes, it is about that. Krishna has given us so many things. We forget to meditate on all those things. If you read Sukavaha Mataji's book, she writes the same thing. She made the same mistake. Staying in Prabhupada's mission for 35 years, she landed up being a cancer patient. And later on, she turned to be having suicidal tendencies because she felt that this is the life that Prabhupada... It's okay. It's okay. We are not robots. And she said that pressure, that guilt that she had kept in her mind caused cancer. You can read her book. Wonderful book. Sukavaha Mataji.
What's the book's name, Prabhu? I think you have like months.
I'll text it to Mataji.
Yeah.
Please read that book. That is how devotee life is. It's wonderful, Mataji. Devotee life is just bliss. It really is bliss. It's not theoretical. But what we forget is it is a day-to-day experience. We want to go back to God in one lifetime. That's none of our business. What are we going to do going back to God? We are going to do the same things that we are doing here. Here, you have a family. There, you'll be having a family. Here you are serving Krishna. There, you'll be serving Krishna. Here, you are serving under a guru. There, you'll be serving under some sakhi or some sakha. What is the difference? You're already in the spiritual world. Why so much of anxiety?
Yes, Prabhu, you sensed me as I mean where I was, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. And one last thing, I don't know if it can be shortened because other devotees ask questions. So this is like, you know, Prabhu, this already physical, like we are in a material world, and of course the material problems, whether it is coronavirus or regular fever or cold, whatever it is, and inside anartha. So externally tortured, internally tortured, how can you move ahead in the path of bhakti? Trying to be happy, Prabhu. So, yes, Prabhu.
Trying to be happy in Krishna consciousness is you have to keep on comparing yourself where we were when we came in bhakti and look at the changes that have happened when today what we are now. If you keep an eye on that, surely you will feel that we have come a long way. We have come a long way. There is no doubt in that.
Yes.
Whether you are a sadhaka of 1 year, or whether you are a sadhaka of 20 years. We have all come a long way. There is no doubt in that. That means bhakti process is working. The only thing we are missing out is that mananam part. Like, yes. And we just have to wait for some years. There was a time when I was in my colleges, so much of problems. Problems are still there. Intensity has reduced. And now we have got that strength and understanding how to handle it. And that's make things more easier. That's what we are looking for. We are not looking for that relief. Relief will come from Krishna time and when it is required. So don't worry about that relief. That's nothing. And the anarthas you are speaking, Mataji, I can give you n number of examples right after COVID where people are tortured like anything. What anarthas we are speaking and facing is petty. The only thing is we need to drive ourselves out and preach now. Just to check out what problems we are facing are bad or what problems people are facing are bad. And itself will give you so much of strength that you will forget all anarthas and you will just start preaching and chanting and serving the deities and serving your Guru Maharaj and serving the devotees. people are harassed, at least we have that understanding that it is our karma and we are ready to take the responsibility. That is where Krishna is helping us. Don't worry, I am there with you every now and then.
That's perfect, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Please keep giving your association, Prabhu. We need you more, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for beautiful answers. Prabhuji, it's almost 6:59.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, Tiffany Mataji.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Tiffany Mataji is there? Okay, okay.
She raised her hand.
I had a question, but it's okay. It's okay. I know you have.
We want your blessings, Mataji. We want your blessings.
I was hoping to get your blessing.
Always eager to see Tiffany Mataji.
I'm so happy to see you, Prabhuji, and yes, I'll save you, my question you. For the next time. Yes, yeah, it's okay.
Thank you. Couldn't serve you much this time.
Oh, it's
so
okay.
Much for so inspiring. You. Thank you so much, every single devotee. My heartfelt pranams to all of you for being there in the Western world and still practicing. At sometimes I feel ashamed of that in India. I have so much of facilities, and you, all devotees. There in the Western world with so much of temptation and all Maya around, and still you are practicing every single day. And all glories to devotees of the Western world. All glory.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much, because
of devotees like you that are inspired to continue practicing. So thank you so much for your association and this beautiful, beautiful class. It was wonderful. I'm so grateful. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much,
Prabhu. Very, very wonderful class. There is a lot of hope for, grihasthas like us. You gave such a nice, wonderful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So much.
Thank you. All credits to Hargrave Shama Gauri Mataji.
No.
Engaging.
I am just
a real person who should be given all the credits.
No,
to see her Jagannath Ji, but today we are not able to see. We are seeing her teacher.
No, Prabhuji, you are like, you were saying Shukadev Goswami is a loudspeaker and you are the loudspeaker and I am the person who is like setting up the loudspeaker. That's it.
But if that setting is not done, nobody will be able to do it. Mataji, I am so happy to see both of them. When I see both of them, I feel my parents are sitting before me.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Mataji, shall we go for Rajamandal?